greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Tuesday, July the 8th, 2008, broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Log on and bookmark it today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. You won't want to miss a moment of today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. The topic I'm going to begin today is international migration and development, why the U.S. borders remain open to all. We'll talk a little bit about becoming vocal local. We'll take your calls and much more. I welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions as they relate to the topic we're discussing at 1-800-313-9443. And today, I encourage you to listen very closely. Take notes and obtain a copy of today's broadcast on CD, either from the Republic Broadcasting Network's program archives, or for those without Internet access, directly from RBN by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Get a copy of this CD and share it with your friends. So again, the RBN listener call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. And please make a note of that. Now today, I'm going to begin a topic that I haven't discussed for some time on air, but one that is absolutely necessary for you to understand why our borders are wide open. Now, there are many pundits who have written books and spoken on this particular topic that seem to be completely oblivious of what we're going to talk about today, and yet it's absolutely fundamental to understanding why illegal aliens and illegal immigration continue rampantly all around the world. So what we're going to do today, as I said, I mean, we could almost call this part one. I've got a 4.5-inch, I just measured it, file, downloaded file on this particular topic from source documents, from the United Nations, from the international community, if you will, from the World Bank, and many other sources to confirm and verify the things that I'm talking about. But primarily and principally, something that you could do right now to begin to understand more about what we're talking about when I say international migration and development. What you can do is go to the United Nations' own website, to their publication group, and order a copy of a specific book for you. Now, many, as I said, of the great pundits out there and the talk hosts have never heard of this document, had never read this document, and yet they come on regularly and talk about illegal aliens and migration. It makes me wonder what the other agendas are, or just how deep this rabbit hole goes. So here you go. If you've got your pencil handy, what you're going to look for at the United Nations Publications Organization, it's unp.un.org. UNP stands for United Nations Publication.un. That's the United Nations.org. And when you log in there, you can go to their bookstore, basically. And what you're going to look for is sales number E, that's capital E, dot, 06, dot, X, I, dot, 7. That's E, dot, 06, dot, X, the I, dot, 7. Now, when we come back from this short break, 3 minutes, we'll go into the Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development, the United Nations Development Agenda, and the Global Commission on International Migration Compared. Stay with us. You won't want to miss today's broadcast.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis, A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
We're back, folks, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, this has become Vocal Local. We can call this, or title our broadcast today, the United Nations Migration and Development Agenda, Part 1. In previous broadcasts, I have discussed logical positivism extensively. Whenever we seek a greater understanding of the documents that are produced by, and often for, governmental bodies, it is necessary to read with great care. This is especially true of United Nations publications, including both Agenda 21 and the Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development, which are the focus of this broadcast. Now, in the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, wherein words become merely symbols in a game, the use of a particular word need not infer that the meaning implied by its use is that which is being said, nor that which was thought, nor that which was meant or felt by the writer's use of that word. The word may be nothing more than a symbol in a language game. As used, words needn't stand for or mean anything. Now, the recent defeat, and this I wrote some time back, so the defeat was sometime previous to that, the recent defeat of Senate Bill 1639 did not close nor resolve the issue of illegal alien and immigrant invasion of our several states. Far from it. It simply gives both sides an opportunity to regroup, develop new strategies, and prepare for the next battle. Now, what I hope to achieve in this broadcast is to impart to the listener a greater understanding of the global issue of migration and development. No amount of border fencing, desert patrolling, videotaping, demonstration, and protesting is going to stop the tide of immigration into America. These are, if I may, temporary, individual solutions to what is truly a global problem. Gaining a better understanding of global issues, we become more effective as problem solvers, accelerating our progress towards true solutions. That is, by curing the disease, globalism, the symptoms manifest in uncontrolled immigration will cure themselves. We first look to the past by consulting encyclopedias and other references, and then we'll consult the dictionary defining a few terms, and finally, explore relevant sections of the United Nations Agenda 21 and the Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development Texts. Now, historically, immigration is the entrance into an alien country of persons intending to take part in the life of that country and to make it their move more or less into a permanent residence. Emigration is to leave a country or region to settle in another country. And migration is the moving from one country or locality to another, more as a periodic wandering, as from one climate or feeding ground to another. Now, words do have meanings, and their meanings are as important as how they are used. I'll emphasize certain words as we introduce them in this broadcast to alert the listener of their importance to our study. European immigration into distant lands has been part of the economic and social structure of the Western world since the modern colonizing movement, which started in the 16th century. It was the means by which European culture was spread into the undeveloped regions of the world. And since the development of these regions into independent nations or dominions, it has served to redistribute population between the old, congested, and the new, sparsely settled countries. Now, both in volume and intensity, the problems produced by the entrance of alien peoples into a different land, immigration assumed its greatest importance in the 19th and 20th centuries. Whenever areas of greater and less advantage lie within access of each other and governmental regulation does not intervene, migration toward the favored spots will tend to take place both within a single country and internationally. The position on Western American frontier of the migrant from the eastern seaboard was often similar to that of his neighbor who had come from overseas. Likewise, those who leave farms and seek their fortunes in industrial and urban centers within their own country must frequently make much the same economic adjustments as peasants, immigrants, entering the same centers. The difficulties of cultural adjustment are, however, greatly augmented for the immigrant by, 1, the distance traveled, 2, the change in his political status, and 3, cultural differences of the new environment. Where close proximity, similarity of cultural conditions, and international harmony prevail, as between the United States and Canada, immigration has practically the same characteristics as internal immigration. Though neighbors, the United States and Mexico are culturally dissimilar. The direction of immigrant flow is determined by the lure of opportunity, whether real or imagined. Although enslavement or enforced migration has many of the same results as immigration, the latter movement is essentially a voluntary one, involving active planning and conscious choice on the part of the immigrant. And this quality of choice sets him apart from the majority of his countrymen who accept the conditions of their homeland. Now, whereas emigration usually results from some sort of maladjustment, often a political emigre, or from a genocide, or from a war, a famine, or a natural disaster, produced by unfamiliar or unfavorable home conditions. So again, it's this maladjustment that was produced by unfavorable home conditions. The direction of immigration is determined then by expectation, and the receiving country is affected by the immigrant psychology of hope and confidence. Now, the type of opportunity most generally sought is economic. The number of immigrants actuated by other than economic motives is proportionally small. The immigrant receiving countries, notice these words carefully, the immigrant receiving countries are therefore those offering the richest economic opportunities in agricultural or industrial activities. The effectiveness of economic advantage in drawing immigration depends on the factors which facilitate or obstruct the process of transfer from one country to another. And primary among these is the ease of travel. a condition especially important in overseas settlement. The sharp rise in the volume of immigration in the latter decades of the 19th century reflect the promptness with which migration responds to improved transportation. You might think of the NASCO corridor here. While travel affects the volume, conditions facilitating adjustment in the new country influence the direction of immigration. You might think of cities of refuge or barrios or ghettos. Similarly, the culture and even more the presence of their countrymen, friends or relatives, draw immigrants to particular localities. Now this is very important. I'm going to repeat that again. The similarity of culture and even more the presence of countrymen, friends or relatives, draw immigrants to particular localities. Political and religious liberties attract refugees from persecution. Experience in a specific occupation and occupational bias exert a directive influence. Could we think of computer programmers from India or the migrant workers working in our lettuce fields? It is clear that the overwhelming body of immigrants have been agricultural workers, general laborers, and domestic servants, generally drawn from rural regions. Their immigration represents an occupational drift, key word, from agriculture into industry, a shift that has seldom been reversed. Now, immigration is sensitive to variation in economic advantage, as reflected in the business cycle. When the industry of a country is in a depressed condition, immigration is checked, while at the same time, emigration is stimulated. And they call this outsourcing or brain drain, depending on which way the flow is going. This effect shows itself conspicuously in Argentina, beginning in 1914, when poor business conditions and extensive unemployment not only reduced the volume of immigrants greatly, but also reversed the direction of flow, so that the country became an immigrant-sending instead of an immigrant-receiving country, key words. The same shift has occurred in the United States, where the depressions of 1907, 1921, and that beginning in 1929 have each produced an excess of emigrants over immigrants. In other words, people flee from the depressions. The conditions of forcing egress also determine in a large measure the age and sex composition of the group and its rate of permanence or repatriation. Italian immigration has constituted the largest single element in the European immigrant stream during the 20th century. Far from a representative cross-section of the Italian community, it was drawn overwhelmingly from low economic levels. Since Italian immigration was almost wholly economic in motivation and did not represent a desire for change of habitat, it contained a preponderance of males. And the proportion repatriated from 1902 to 1924 amounted to 62.8% of those going out. Among the Irish, the sexes were almost evenly distributed, the female immigrants being drawn by the opportunities for domestic service. The Irish rate of repatriation from the United States between 1908 and 1923 amounted to only 11%, while the returning Jews have been estimated at less than 5%. So we see then that the nature of impact of immigration upon the country of ingress depends upon the economic and social development of that country, which as we continue in this series, you're going to understand that it is the economic and social development that is fundamental to this. And if you'll recall from our discussion on the International Chamber of Commerce, ECOSOCS was set up in the United Nations primarily by the International Chamber of Commerce's. So this economic and social development of the country then, and the degree of similarity between the immigrants and the native group in economic equipment, and in United Nations speak, that's capacity, their economic equipment, the living standards and cultural characteristics. These problems of social adaptation and of cultural transfer constitute the chief human issues involved in immigration, and we must understand them thoroughly to comprehend just what's going on the borders. We'll take a break here. This is Become Vocal Local, and we'll return in 3 minutes.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. By calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. Hempusa.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay, call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
We're back once again here on Become Vocal Local. Now, as we're going into the break, I stated that these problems of social adaptation and of cultural transfer constitute the chief human issues involved in immigration. Now, although immigration of workers drawn from industry is replacing immigration from land to shop to an ever greater extent, and although immigration for agricultural settlement still persists in South America, Australia, and Canada, the history of modern immigration has been that of increasing dominance of the land-to-industry type, with a single outstanding of the Jewish group. This trend has complicated the problem of cultural transfer, for adaptation is more difficult under the urban than under rural conditions. Although settlers, are frequently on the move for new land to exploit, their active immigration is a commitment to a new place and way of life, from which they do not look to return. The factory worker, by contrast, has a much smaller stake in his job. His life is much less dependent on permanence than is that of the rural settler, and his movements respond with greater sensitiveness to conditions of the labor market. With the transfer of peasant people to foreign industrial centers, the usual strains set up by industrialization are increased by the pressure of alien speech and alien mores. That's sociology, sociological speak, if you will. In rural regions, their traditional language can easily be maintained and the inherited customs can remain largely undisturbed. The city immigrant, however, is brought into close and active contact with the alien cultures of the country of ingress and with those of immigrants from other countries. In industrial centers, the immigrant is peculiarly subject to exploitation, key phrase, and is often unwittingly the tool by which the employer of native labor seeks to lower the standards of that labor. The disparity between conditions in the old and the new environment, differences in both real wages and money wages, as well as the different positions which money occupies in an industrial as against a rural community, all make wages below those which the native element demands appear generous to the inexperienced foreigner. Similarly, the newcomer accepts bad working conditions fought by native labor because they compare favorably with those to which he has been accustomed. As a foil for labor organization, the foreigner is used to the native exploiter or employer. Labor organization is checked by mixing nationalities to prevent communication, by pitting immigrant groups against one another, by playing upon old world antipathies, and by using immigrants as strikebreakers. The most extreme forms of exploitation often come through the immigrant's own countrymen, who have immigrated at an earlier date, and who as padroni, or foremen, or saloon keepers, or boarding houses, often impose upon the newcomers in ways the native employer would not know. The least desirable jobs are assigned to the immigrant, and because immigrants perform these jobs, they are regarded as foreigners' work, and native labor refuses to engage in them unless no other jobs are available. In the United States, supporters of free immigration argued because of this that the nation's disagreeable work would not get done if the supply of willing immigrants were cut off. Haven't we heard that 1,000 times? Immigration tends to delay the process of mechanization of industry by keeping a human supply cheaper than the cost of mechanical development. And if you'd like to have a reference there, you can go to Agenda 21 and see 7.69E. Immigration is normally attracted to places where there is a labor shortage, and for this reason, employers usually welcome immigrant labor. Whenever there is, or threatens to be, an excess labor supply, either in a single trade or in general, conflict between immigrant and native groups ensue. The immigrant is in an especially weak position in times of crisis. In the United States, he has been made the scapegoat for them since 1830. The powers of deportation were invoked and unemployed immigrants deported as public charges during the crisis following 1929. The social status of the immigrant results from the combination of cultural differences and economic status. His isolation from the life of the community which he enters is based on his economic status, his low economic position, which in turn becomes associated in the minds of the natives with the nationality to which he belongs, or with foreigners as a class, so that the representatives of that nationality are assumed to be of low class and therefore socially undesirable. The social atmosphere surrounding the immigrant is thus surcharged with prejudice associated with his economic condition. The poverty of the bulk of an immigrant group in fact distinguishes the immigrant completely from other members of his nationality, so that any sympathy that may be felt for his fellow countrymen on their native soil is not extended to him. The problem of the transfer of immigrant cultures varies with the degree of divergence between the incoming and the native group. The shift in the source of most European immigrants from northern and western to southern and European toward the close of the 19th century accentuated for the British dominions and the United States the problems involved in the transfer of immigrant cultures. And that's the end of this particular reading. So now we're sitting here and we're looking at this concept of immigration with perhaps a little more background information so we get a better handle on it. In one hand, I have a big orange book, Earth Summit, Agenda 21. In the other, I have the blue book, The Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to share with you how similar they are and how interdependent we have become. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, North City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
We're back right here on Republic Broadcasting Network, and listeners, again, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443 for comments or questions regarding this topic. Now, I'm going to eschew something that I usually do, which is to go through a lengthy etymology, if you will. I study in the dictionaries to try and understand the meanings of words, at least the customary and the traditional meanings of words. But for today, I'm just going to confine myself to a couple of definitions right out of Black's Law Dictionary, precisely because what we're talking with is a very a well-established legal issue here. And the first one is alien. And again, these are out of Black's Law Dictionary, the 8th edition. Alien is a person who resides within the borders of a country, but is not a citizen or a subject of that country. A person not owing allegiance to a particular nation. And under that heading, they have illegal alien. Now, it makes you wonder and scratch your head why, if it is a common term in the Black's Law Dictionary, it becomes so difficult for the media and for our legislators and our supposed representatives to use the term. But time is changing all, and the term illegal alien is beginning to get wider circulation. But let's listen to the definition here. Illegal alien, an alien who enters a country at the wrong time or place, eludes an examination by officials, obtains entry by fraud, or enters into a sham marriage to evade immigration laws. As a subhead, they also have undocumented alien, and they also have an alien immigrant, but they refer you to immigrant. So, well, we'll just go to immigrant. Immigrant, a person who arrives in a country to settle there permanently, a person who immigrates. Immigration and Naturalization Service, a former U.S. Department of Justice agency that administered the Immigration and Nationality Act and operated the U.S. Border Patrol. Now, it says C, Citizenship and Immigration Service. The next one, migrant worker, and again, these are legal definitions out of the Black's Law Dictionary, a migrant worker, a person who works seasonally as an agricultural laborer in a foreign country, especially in agricultural labor. Two, a person who works seasonally as a laborer in a different part of his or her own country. So we have many migrant workers here in the United States, loggers are some, salmon fishermen are another, and so on, who might live or dwell in California, and yet they pursue the salmon in Alaska on boats, and there is, in my mind, absolutely nothing wrong with that. A migrant worker is just part of the process. We have loggers, we have haymen, people who work crops, etc. Now, here's another definition right out of the Black's Law Dictionary. Developing country, and it's so important. In international law, a country that is not economically or politically advanced as the main industrial powers. Developing countries are located mostly in Africa, Asia, Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and Latin and South America. Now, if you would just think back, where have the immigrants come from? You'll see that the flow is from developing countries towards the North American continent and European continent, almost as a one-way ticket to paradise. Continue. Pertinent terminology, again, this is the same definition, this is an inset. Pertinent terminology has undergone extensive changes in the past 40 years. At the very start, before the category found its way into official text, in other words, developing country, economic and political writings referred mainly to poor or backward countries. In the late 1940s, the term underdeveloped countries came into common usage in economic literature and in the jargon of international organizations. That would be, of course, the United Nations. It was replaced in the 1950s by the term less developed countries, for which the current developing countries was eventually substituted. See how the words change? These terms are essentially interchangeable, as they refer to the same group and kind of countries. However, variations in the use of them, remember our logical positivist syntactician, various variations in the use of them reflect significant changes in the perception of the central issue, namely economic development. Now we're right back to the International Chambers of Commerce. Development, a definition, again from the Black's Law Dictionary. One, a human-created change to improved or unimproved real estate, including buildings or other structures, mining, dredging, filling, grading, paving, excavating, and drilling. Two, an activity, action, or alteration that changes undeveloped property into developed property. And finally, migration. It's the movement of people or animals from one country or a region to another. And again, those are the Black's Law Dictionary definitions, 8th edition, 2004, West, a Thompson Business, and the pages were referenced. Now, in this Agenda 21 and in this compendium of recommendations on international migration and development, we see a merger of thought. We're implementing Agenda 21, the Program of Action of Sustainable Development, the Rio Declaration on Environmental and Development, the Statement of Forest Principles, etc., the final text of agreements negotiated by governments at the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, UNCED, which happened on June 3 to 14 in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Now, all during the Clinton administration, the Clinton-Gore team advanced Agenda 21 strongly. Vision 2020 mission statements came up all over the United States. Santa Cruz, California was one of the leaders. All over the United States, this idea just really rocketed. During the Bush administration, it has continued, but it has continued in a subdominant role, a subdominant theme. taking a backseat to the neocons' imperial expansion. But I'm quite concerned that as we come into this election period, if we return to a Democratic control Congress, that we'll very likely see a major move forward into a public light, the continuation of Agenda 21, their program of action for the 21st century. So let's look at a little bit of Agenda 21 so that you get a better understanding of just how this system works, what it's all about, and how it applies to migration and development. Agenda 21 then, Chapter 38, the international institutional arrangements. This is the basis for action. I'll start with Section 38.1. The mandate of the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development emanates from General Assembly Resolution 44/228. And if you go on the United Nations website and click on the resolutions, you can get a copy of 44/228 for yourself, which I've done, in which the Assembly, inter alia, that's a word that you're going to hear over and over and over. Whenever you see inter alia, which is simply Latin, it's always italicized, it's simply Latin for among others. But it's a code word, it's a key word that lets you know that you're into this sustainable developed mercenary dialectic here. So, in which the Assembly, inter alia, affirmed that the conference should elaborate strategies and measures to halt and reverse the effects of environmental degradation in the context of increased national and international efforts to promote sustainable and environmentally sound development in all countries. And the promotion of economic growth in developing countries is essential to the address the problems of environmental degradation. So now what we're doing is we're making a linkage here between economic growth and development and the environment. Always the three E's, you know. It's environment, it's equity, and economy. Always the three E's of sustainable development, as Michael Shaw has so clearly enumerated many times. So, the intergovernmental follow-up then to the conference's process shall be within the framework, always this framework, of the United Nations, and I like to say the United Nations beast system, with the General Assembly being the supreme policy-making forum, or you might consider the supreme ruler of the universe, that would provide overall guidance to governments, the United Nations system and relevant treaty bodies. At the same time, governments, as well as economic and technical cooperation organizations, have a responsibility to play an important role in the follow-up to the conference. Their commitments and actions should be adequately supported by the United Nations system and multilateral financial institutions. Thus, national and international efforts would mutually benefit from one another. And so what we see right here in this beginning is that when we talk about immigration or the illegal alien invasion, and we separate it from what's happening on the global scene, we make a strategic error. You know, and as Aristotle said, such as they begin badly, they cannot help but end badly. So we need to understand that this is an international direction. It's a migration of peoples. It's people being herded around in this global plantation, this global world without borders, drifting from one green pasture to another, seeking some place to eat and some place to lay their head. Now, 38.2, again from Agenda 21, continues, in fulfilling the mandate, here's a mandate, in fulfilling the mandate of the conference, there is a need for institutional arrangements within the United Nations system in conformity with and providing input into the restructuring and the revitalization of the United Nations in the economic, social, and related fields. Now, in the introduction that I wrote and read to you, we're talking all about the economic and social aspects of immigration. Cannot be separated, folks. And the overall reform of the United Nations, including ongoing changes in the Secretariat. In the spirit of reform and revitalization of the United Nations system, implementation of Agenda 21 and other conclusions of the conference shall be based on an action and result-oriented approach and consistent with the principle of universality. Now, if you don't have a dictionary, then I'll just give you the other word that you can substitute that. Whenever you see universal, you can just simply reverse it and say Catholic. because that's exactly what Catholic means, universal. And so, not to cast any aspersions here, but let's just certainly understand that when we're talking about principles of universality, democracy, transparency, cost-effectiveness, and accountability, we need to define our terms carefully. Institutional structure, this is a next section. Economic and Social Council, this is ECOSOS again. The Economic and Social Council, in the context of its role under the Charter, that's the Charter of the United Nations, vis-a-vis the General Assembly and the ongoing restructuring and revitalization of the United Nations, in the economic, social, and related fields. Are you hearing anything in here about the environment? No. They wear the environment like a cufflink, and then they show it whenever they're out in public. But as soon as they get in, they just pull the sleeve of their coat down to hide their environmental pin, and they go right back into what their real agenda is, which is the redistribution of wealth and the reorganization of the world along economic and social lines. So the General Assembly then, by overseeing system-wide coordination in the implementation of Agenda 21 and making recommendations in this regard. So Chapter 39, International Legal Instruments and Mechanisms, 39.1. The following vital aspects of this universal, multilateral and bilateral treaty-making process, in other words, multilateral, many countries, bilateral between two countries, this treaty-making process, the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement of North America, for instance, the multilateral and bilateral treaty-making process should be taken into account. A, the further development of international law on sustainable development, giving special attention to that delicate balance. That delicate balance. Does that remind you of Earth in the Balance, Al Gore's book? Between environmental and developmental concerns. Now, on previous broadcasts, we've gone into this word and study considerably. But what is this concept of concerns, environmental and developmental concerns? The key operative here, these other two are just adjectives, the key operative here is the word concerns. That's not your concern for the environment. That's not your concern for the tree frog. That's not your concern for tadpoles or something else. What we're talking about, the antique word here, concern, means simply the same as company or corporation. So this is a balance, a delicate balance between environmental and developmental concerns or companies or corporations. And here we could add a list and say Nature Conservancy, the Sierra Club, the World Wildlife Federation. What are all these people doing involved in migration and development? Future projects, this is point E, future projects for the progressive development and codification of international law on sustainable development. You see, it's not just something that's kind of ephemeral and out there in the ozone, folks. They're actually implementing and codifying this into international law. Sustainable development should take into account the ongoing work of the International Law Commission. Haven't we spoken of that before? Remember, the Uniform Law Commission here in the United States, which brought us the Uniform Commercial Code, model legislation, model codes, model acts, uniform laws, etc. This idea of the International Law Commission, this is right out of Agenda 21 now, but the International Law Commission was that creation that spawned from, it started with the American Bankers Association, and then it became, they merged with the American Bar Association in the dream to circumvent the Constitution. They needed to get around that troublesome document, and so they created the Uniform Law Commission so that they could introduce model laws, model codes, and model acts through all of the legislative bill drafting agencies throughout the United States. And after they started to get legs with that concept, they turned right around and they created the International Law Commission so that they could do the same thing and subvert constitutions and charters of the nations of the world. What is good for one country can be applied universally. So let's go into Chapter 7 here now then, promoting sustainable human settlement developments right out of Agenda 21 again, and look at 7.69E. Promote the use of labor-intensive construction and maintenance technologies which generate employment in the construction sector for the unemployed labor force found in most large cities, while at the same time promoting the development of skills in the construction sector. Now, for those who are just reading Agenda 21 for their first time, you might go right by something like that, but it sticks, you know, because of the research that I've done, this sort of thing just comes up like a flag. promote the use of labor-intensive construction and maintenance technologies. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll put all the bulldozers aside, we'll take all of the power tools off the job site, and we'll go back with shovels and hoes, and we'll dig the Suez Canal. Are you with me? We'll go back to building pyramids with rollers and ramps, slaves and ropes. This is what they're talking about here. Promote the use of labor-intensive construction. That's not promoting the most cost-effective or the most efficient system of construction. This is all about promoting labor-intensive construction and maintenance technologies. Labor-intensive, the most costly way to go. We'll be back right here on Become Vocal Local after this short break. Stay with us.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org. Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
And we're back. The last segment of today's broadcast, we're talking about the Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development, the United Nations Development Agenda, and the Global Commission on International Migration Compared, a book that you can obtain directly from the United Nations publications, and I encourage you to consider doing so. Now, this idea of globalization, I'm going to pause from my text. We'll pick this up in a part two series of a series. And I'm going to go to United Nations document here from the General Assembly. This was on October the 13th of 2006, originally published in English. And this is from the 61st Agenda, or excuse me, the 61st Session, Agenda Item 55B, globalization and interdependence, international migration and development. And what this document is, it's A/61/515, if you want to go to their website and pull it down for yourself. But what this is the summary of the high-level dialogue on international migration and development. It's the summary of the high-level dialogue on international migration and development. And the book that I gave you, Compendium of Recommendations on International Migration and Development, was that book, that compendium. A compendium is a gleaning. It's like they go through everything that has been written so far by the United Nations, and their scholars and researchers compiled or created this compendium as of things that have been discussed and resolutions that have been passed at the United Nations level as they related to international migration and development. And this book was prepared in preparation for this very same high-level dialogue on international migration and development, which took place in New York City, and was no one had ever heard of it. Maybe Joanne or Joan Vian knew about it, but it certainly wasn't put out in the general media. Now, there are several pages to this, and certainly we won't have time to go through all of them. We'll come back to it from time to time. But there's something that I want to leave you with today that's so important to understand, that when we're talking about illegal aliens coming and going, the importation, the deportation, the open borders, the undocumented status, and so on and so forth, we have to understand that there's an economic motive that keeps this system going, an economic motive so powerful and so great that there's no chance whatsoever unless we divest ourselves of this crooked, corrupt two-party system and start bringing constitutional men and scholars into our system of representative government. We don't have any chance of whipping this dog because it's just going to continue to come on us and at us, as Chris Kerner used to like to say on the American Exposé broadcast. But here's the thing to put into your mind and understand, and that is remittances. Remittances. When the illegal comes into this country and they take a job, they're typically sent. It wasn't something that they just thought up on a spur of the moment. Typically, they were sent. And they're not the poor of the very poor and the veriest poor. The poor of the very poor and the veriest poor cannot afford the transportation to the border. They cannot afford to make arrangements with the coyote to get them safely inland. They cannot arrange any kind of support system once they get into the nation, and they don't have any kind of a communication network. So what we're not talking about when we consider illegal aliens, we're not talking about those poor lettuce farmers, those genuine and traditional migrant workers. No, we're not. We're talking about people that come from a fairly affluent family in their home country, and they come here, and that affluent family wants to be paid back, and it's known as remittances. And the banks make big money on it. If you want to do a foreign wire transfer from our local bank, it's $55 to make the transfer, whether you're sending $100 home or $10,000. Keep that in mind. We'll pick this up again on another broadcast tomorrow. I have a special guest. And so I must remind you that you've been listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. Become vocal local. Take action right where you are. And until the next time, good afternoon.
All you men out there.